basketball, a game of giants. And there's number 99, George Mikan, one of the greatest.
Perhaps the most complete player the game has ever seen. The Lakers captain, Elgin Baylor.
2 seconds, 1 second. West throws it up.
Jerry West made it from the other side of the mid-court stripe.
Ford sends it to Kareem. Sky hook up and good. Lakers win.
Magic down the middle, just what I thought. A hook shot at 12. Good!
Shaquille fade away.
Bryant for the win. Bang! James puts up the three. Oh, it's good.
Doncic on the drive. Step back. Puts it up. Puts it in. Goodbye. 10ths of a second remaining.
What's up, Laker fans? You're listening to the Laker Film Room Podcast. I'm Pete, joined by Darius, and crazy times in Lakerland. If you missed it yesterday, let's try to get you caught up as best as we can. It started out in the morning. We got a report from Shams saying that the Buzz Kids were selling their remaining stakes to Josh Kushner and Bob Iger, essentially buying them out of their shares, which would have the effect of not making Jeannie Buss the governor of the Lakers anymore, because league rules mandate that you got to have at least 15% ownership to be governor of the team. And then hours later, we get reports from Jeannie Buss. Her lawyer releases a letter with lots of interesting stuff in it, including allegations about Joey and Jesse leaking info to Shams for years and years, saying, hell no, we're not selling the team. And it has to be all three of the trustees, I believe, that agree on that to be able to sell. So more drama in Lakerland about the sale. We don't know its impact on what the overall initial sale between Mark Walter is or not, although we continue to get just more and more info about Walter. He sold Chelsea, European football team. And before I get your thoughts on just all of the craziness that's going on, any blanks to fill in on that? There's so much going on. I'm sure I missed some things.
To clarify, Pete, we'll separate out the Walter stuff and his ongoing seemingly financial challenges that he's facing while under federal investigation, where all of his money is coming from for all of these investments that he might have in sports teams and otherwise. We'll dig into the Jeannie Buss stuff first. The double whammy of the Buss family is selling and the statement that came out in conjunction with that announcement was super interesting to me, Pete, based off of the very last line that was in the statement that the Buss family released, which was, you know, essentially getting out with grace while we still can.
While we still can.
While we still can. And I know that that raised flags with pretty much everyone who read that statement. My entire timeline and algorithm on every social media platform that I'm on highlighted that specific phrase. And now I know why that phrase came out, because just a few hours later, it was Jeannie Buss essentially taking a shotgun and blasting her entire family with the idea that these bozos can't sell without me agreeing to it. So the Buss family shares are held in a trust. It's my understanding, Pete, that typically four of the six have to agree to anything. In digging into the language more, and I'm not a lawyer, I'm only sort of regurgitating things that I've seen online and things that other smart people have said, is that based off of what happened back in 2017, when there was a lot of sort of back and forth and family drama between the siblings about them trying to oust Jeannie, if I recall correctly, that they all went to court and the rulings were that the trust needed to continue year after year to vote Jeannie as the sort of controlling owner or the person with controlling interest within the family trust. And that if there was ever going to be a sale, and this is an interesting piece of this, Pete, is that the three co-trustees within the full trust needed to agree. And this is important because when the sale to Mark Walter went through, I recall there being some misinformation out there about only four of the six Buss kids voting to sell to Walter. And it came out after the fact that the two holdouts were going to be Jesse and Joey, but that they ultimately agreed because they did not want to be the ones that stood in the way. I believe that potentially came out even in a statement that the Buss brothers released themselves, although I could be wrong about that. But that would line up with the idea, Pete, that there couldn't have been holdouts, particularly from Joey, because Joey, Jeannie, and Janie are the three co-trustees that supposedly would need to agree to any sale. And this is what Jeannie is standing on within the context of they're not allowed to sell without me being able to approve it, and I'm not approving it.
One bit of interesting context, though, is that it was reported that Jeannie is the only one who didn't agree to this sale of the rest of their shares. All the other five siblings are like, we want to sell.
Yes, and this is where there's a second piece that I heard Ramona Shelburne talking about yesterday with Mike Trudell and Geeter on ESPN Radio. And both Ramona and Dave McMenamin, who has also been reporting on some of this stuff, were essentially talking about this idea of a tag-along agreement that all of the kids agreed to in the aftermath of the sale to Mark Walter. And what this agreement supposedly states, Pete, is that the Buss family can tag along with any sale that Mark Walter makes and basically lump their shares into a Mark Walter sale of his shares in order to basically cash out on the entire franchise. And with that, there seems to be some head clashing on how many people need to agree within that. And I believe that for that, it only needs to be four of the six, is I believe is what the language says. And the Buss kids feel like seemingly that they have that because five of the six are agreeing to sell. And so Jeannie seems to be standing on business on a 2017 court ruling, and the kids seem to be standing on business of, well, we just agreed to this tag-along provision as part of the trust to say if Mark Walter sells his shares, we're good. And so this tag-along agreement was apparently agreed to in October in the aftermath of the NBA Board of Governors approving the final sale to Mark Walter's group. And what it seems like to me, Pete, is that Jeannie got outflanked here. She probably never expected for Mark Walter to sell as soon as he did. And this sort of tag-along provision, which she probably never thought would ever be enacted, particularly within the timeline in which she was still right, governor, which was going to be 5 years, that she was in the clear. And so I had texted you this yesterday, but it seemed like Jeannie felt like in executing the sale to Mark Walter that she put all of her ducks in a row, Pete. She's got aging siblings in Johnny and Jim and Janie who want to cash out. And she had younger siblings in Jesse and Joey who didn't want to cash out because the way that the trust works is that surviving heirs are the ones who are going to get a piece of the pie. And Jesse and Joey had business interest in terms of them working for the team and one day hopefully wanting to take over and run basketball operations for the Lakers. So what Jeannie seemingly did is she built a coalition, Pete, within the trust and was just like, hey, Mark Walter wants to buy our shares. I know y'all have been talking about cashing out. Why don't we sell 40-something percent of our shares? We'll keep 18%. All of you will be close to billionaires with this deal. You walk away with your money. I will then negotiate language that allows me to stay governor and we'll keep X percentage of shares. I think it's 17.8%. And then we'll be good. The younger brothers were like, well, I don't know about this, but if everyone else is on board, I guess we'll do it. And then 2 months later, Pete, Jeannie fires them. Right. And it's sort of like, now I've cleaned house. Now I'm the governor. I'm the only one who's in the mix. They've all got their money. I'm good to go. Right. And then she got undone, Pete, by seemingly Walter and his financial issues needing to flip the team, and now she's been outflanked. And that's sort of how I see all of this developing and how it all came to a head. And now she's wanting to take them to court and essentially be like, remember what we agreed to in 2017? I'm essentially the queen on the throne, and I decide when it's over. And so let's take a break here, Pete. And when we come back, I'd love to get your thoughts on how Jeannie is positioning herself within this and what it means for the larger sale of the team, but also how she's keeping her foot in the door the way that she is.
My overriding thought above all else is she seems to be the only person of importance that wants her to stay in the position that she's in of governor. The other element of this is that the Bus Kids didn't just go and sell their shares to anybody. They sold it to Iger and Kushner, who Iger was talking to Kobe Price the other day saying, you know, we intend to honor the agreements that Mark Walter made with Jeannie unless something changes. That was certainly an important caveat, and I'm paraphrasing here. Neither Iger nor Kushner are particularly interested in her holding this role. As you laid out, and even beyond, she's let go and moved aside all of her other siblings over the course of this. And in times where she's had, you know, the four of the six on her side in the past, it's 5-1 against her. So neither the new owners nor any of her siblings want to keep doing this and want to continue with her in that role, which, again, they have to own at least 15% of their shares for it to happen. And who knows how this is all going to work out. But my understanding is it's like an all or nothing type of deal. They can't be like, all right, Jeannie, you just keep your shares. We're going to sell our portion of this. It has to be everybody. That's one of the unsung villains over the last decade and a half. And it's the, you know, consequences of good intentions, I believe, is the construction of the trust, in my opinion. And I think it's led to a whole lot of difficulties and unintended consequences, Dee. But are the Lakers going to have a governor that nobody internally wants to have in that position? That's the biggest thing that's on my mind right now. Like yesterday, there was part of it that was like, to what degree does this matter? Because these are just minority stakes. But that's the one thing that does matter to me is that, like, she's going to be the governor and she's fighting to keep that. And we'll see if that has any impact on the sale of the team between Walter and Kushner and Iger. I'm hoping it doesn't. I don't think it needs to, but we'll see. But if she fights it, the Lakers could be caught up in a, you know, kind of a legal quandary and just kind of stuck for a bit. And that would be terrible. And I don't want the team to be run by somebody that none of the particulars want to be in charge.
This is a great point. This is one of the great unknowns to me is what sort of terms are Jeannie Buss and Iger and Josh Kushner on, right? And I really think it's more about Iger and Jeannie than it is with Kushner. But
I do too.
If Iger and Kushner are the managing sort of faces of the ownership group, one of them being the money and one of them being the person who's supposedly going to run the team, with the latter being Iger, why would Iger be positioned as the guy who, A, didn't bring the money, and B, doesn't have the power of running the team? If I were in his shoes, I would be the one that would be giving quotes like, unless something changes.
And he's notorious for being, I don't want to say a control freak, but somebody that wants to have his hands in the mix. Like, what is his purpose here? Like you're saying, if he's not going to be the guy sort of running things.
What business person doesn't? Why did Magic Johnson supposedly quit his job with the Lakers? He was like, why are all these people acting like they're my peer? Essentially, like, okay, y'all can talk or whatever, but when it's time, I'm just going to decide what I decide. And Magic found out that that wasn't actually true, that the Bus Boys maybe had too much influence, and that Pelinka, he had a straight line to Jeannie, and then there were the Rambis, and it's sort of just like, okay, well, what's going on here? And Magic was just like, this isn't how successful places are run. I get that all of you have a voice, but in the end, the buck stops with me. And if you're telling me it actually doesn't, like, I can't even fire the head coach right? Which was one of the things that he complained about. He's like, I wanted to fire Luke Walton, and I got so much pushback within this that they made it seem like I couldn't. And he's just like, why would I want to work at a place like this? Why give me this job if I'm not actually the main guy?
And I want to jump in here because even beyond the legal machinations and all of that, this provides a tremendous amount of insight into what a lot of the issues with the Lakers have been. Dude, when I joined the Lakers, I was a huge stan of the Buss family and, you know, really wanted it to stay in the family for a long time. And you know this, wonderful producer Jeannie knows this. Long before I left the team, I'd already come to the conclusion of like, what's best for this team and franchise is for them to sell. Like, I really want them to sell at some point because it's a mess. And we just got a window into all of it. And the Magic stuff speaks to that. And it's like, how are you supposed to get stuff done when you've got so many warring factions within the team?
And I think that what you're describing, too, also comes down to the construction of the trust and the way it was constructed and the way that everyone was positioned as having essentially equal voice and that no one could essentially drop out of the trust and just cash out for themselves, right? Mm-hmm. That Jerry didn't want the Buss shares to be diluted in any way, and they were going to continue to move as a single entity, even though there were all of these different pieces with different priorities associated with it. And Jeannie only amplified those concerns or those different factions within the group when she went and fired her first brother, the first firing in Jim. Jim then sort of working with Johnny in order to try to Uno reverse card everything and get Jeannie out of the paint rather than himself get fired. And so they tried to make that maneuver. It didn't work. Jeannie then got almost full authority within the context of the legal rulings that we mentioned earlier back in 2017. Now we're in a position where after she then fired Jesse and Joey, that she has no more allies within the context of supporting basketball operations within her, right? And if none of the other siblings have a vested interest in how the Lakers are run, then they might as well just cash out. It was one thing for her to get Jesse and Joey on her side about keeping a certain percentage of the team when they were employees and they potentially had their own machinations to be able to maybe usurp her down the line and get her out and basically be able to say, well, no, it was Dad's vision for us to run the team. You're getting older now or whatever. Maybe this was 5 years from now. Maybe it's 10 years from now. But eventually, I'm sure they felt like they were going to get their way. But with them out now, why would they not say there's a $12.5 billion valuation for our shares? Why don't we cash out the last 17.8% of this? That's another like $2.3 billion to be split amongst the six of us. Why are we holding on to this for Jeannie to remain governor?
Who's fired all of us at some one point or another.
Who's fired all of us and has basically like turned her back on us within the context of the Lakers. Every single one of us who were involved with the team, she's ousted us. So why would we support this vision for her to run the team? And so let's take our second break here, P. And when we come back, I want to circle back to the Iger piece of this. When Iger said, you know, we plan to honor this, I think there's two pieces of that. First, we've talked to people who understand the legal side of this. He very well was saying that because he's legally obligated to honor it, right? Mm-hmm. In that Jeannie remaining as governor were conditions of the sale. It was reported as such at the time, and it was approved by the league with that language embedded into the terms of the sale, which did not happen with Mark Cuban and famously did not happen with the sale of the Celtics to Chisholm recently. And so Jeannie had her cake and she was planning to eat it too, right? And now, though, when Iger's saying unless something changes, my sense is he was probably thinking the whole time, you know, what would be good is if something did change. which is me going to the other kids and sort of like, hey, I know this provision, this tag-along provision exists. I'm speculating here, but this is what I could imagine happen, is this tag-along provision exists. Do y'all want to make another couple billion dollars? Because right. I'm happy to buy it up as part of this larger sale. And the other siblings sort of circumventing Genie, if Iger and Kushner have essentially come to terms on a sale for the rest of this with the kids, they're willing to box Genie out in this way. And that has to create even more bad blood. Even if there wasn't any, it puts them on opposite sides of the equation. And I'm wondering how that piece comes to a resolution, particularly when we're talking about the governorship here and who actually has controlling rights at the meetings and everything else as part of league negotiations and whose voice is actually heard. And Mark Walter seemed perfectly fine for Jeannie Buss to sit in that role. But I'm not sure if Iger would, Pete. And the machinations to buy the piece tells me that he probably doesn't want
that,
right?
No, everything points in that direction. And so my hope, because it does sound like, you know, this is legally binding from, even though Mark Walter is selling to Kushner and Iger, that covenant still carries over, right, for Jeannie to still be governor. Because Iger, I think, is going to want to run the team, and everything about this indicates that they are not particularly interested in having her in that role. And so is it possible for it to be one of those things where she has a title but no real role or influence? And does she fight for that in all of this? Those are the questions that remain unanswered in this, D. But it's a mess, and they need somebody to take control of the situation so that the team can have a direction in the meantime. And I just want to say, too, this is an aside, but Adam Silver, like, I don't think the Walter sale should have ever been approved in the first place. The seizing of his devices and the investigation all happened before the approval by the NBA Board of Governors. And the turning a blind eye to that, not being like, whoa, 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 what's going on here? Let's at least get answers for this before anything else happens, has just sent us down this crazy rabbit hole where it's very confused, and it really needs Iger or somebody. I think it's got to be Iger, because they're the ones that are going to have the controlling interest soon. And how do you do this when you don't officially own the team? I'm not entirely sure, but they need somebody to take control of the situation so that there isn't a lot of collateral damage to this.
The best path forward that I see happening, Pete, is that Iger gets in a room with Adam Silver, and they have a longstanding relationship, as we discussed in our Who is Bob Iger podcast. They find a way to finesse Genie, basically. Iger is going to have to, if he actually wants controlling interest, not just within the context of how many shares they own of the team, but controlling interest with the governorship with it, he's going to need to speak up. I don't think that he can allow the courts to let this play out for Genie to potentially win, for her position to be reinforced by law through the courts, and then him try to then resolve it with Genie after the fact, because I don't think Genie's going to go through all of that just to pivot on the back end and lose at that point. I think that what's going to need to happen is there's going to need to be an appeal from Adam Silver, with Bob Iger probably standing a little bit behind, and an appeal made to Genie as a, like, look, you've been a steward of this franchise and a wonderful partner who we all respect for decades now. And we understand and appreciate all that you have done and all that your father before you did in support of the league. But at this point, the wheels have been put in motion for the rest of your family shares to be sold. And while you don't want that, what would be best is to clean all of this up and for the new ownership group to make their own decisions about who they want to be governor and everything else. And I've got Iger right here, and I think that as much respect as he has for yada, 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 right? What he wants is actually this. And this is why I'm saying that I think Iger has to go to Silver. He's got to express what he actually wants. And if this is what he wants, to control the team, he should make that clear. And he should make it clear now, right? So that as this process happens and it continues to roll forward, that by the time this is ready to go to vote for the Board of Governors, all of these ducks should be lined up and they should all be resolved, Pete, because it's a mess right now, but it can get messier.
Oh, it can get very...
If Jeannie continues to hold on and basically be the one person who's just like, no, 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 no. This is what I want. And that can get really bad here.
And yeah, she could say, I would have never agreed to sell in the first place if this is where I knew it was going to end up. And that's why when you were explaining, you know, Silver and Iger, by extension, making an appeal to Jeannie, I'm nodding along, but I'm going, well, what if she says no? What if she's like, no, I don't want to do that? And that's where it can't just be a persuasive argument. This is, again, you and I grew up in the David Stern NBA, and there was a certain amount of, I don't want to say unilateral, but like putting, he used the weight of his office to be able to get shit done in ways that Adam Silver's got freaking substitute teacher energy on so many different things that drives me freaking crazy that this is something that it's like, no, this has to get, this cannot remain, even if she's pissed off and wants to fight it tooth and nail. For the good and health of the league, like, he has the responsibility to the Lakers and to the league as a whole to not let it get to that point, not let one person's whims, especially somebody who's a minority owner at this point, get in the way of a whole bunch of other stuff that needs to happen.
What would you say, Pete, because I'm thinking back to the part of this podcast where you were just like, you know, I saw it from the inside, and it was before I left the team. And it was before any of this more public drama has sort of been spilled out. Putting it in a legal statement that your brothers were undermining and all
crazy
of this stuff. This is a full-on mess. Any of that stuff was really out there. You would come to your own conclusions about, like, nah, man, I don't see it with this group of people. It's like, I see it up close now, and I don't think this is the right way to go. And this is coming from someone who was fully invested in the idea before.
I was on their side, right? But they were so, snippy with each other about every little thing. It was like, do we have to be like this about everything? And I saw a fraction in my little role of what it actually must have been.
Yes. So what do you say to the people who want Jeannie Buss to fight, who are disillusioned with the sort of path of this new ownership group? Remember when the news broke and we did our first initial reaction pod, you used the word cope with your own sort of understanding in that moment of like what it was for this sort of sale to go through from Walter to this specific ownership group. And I know that we've had more time to think on it, more time to learn and adjust to this new reality. But what would you say to the group of fans, and there are fans who think like this, Pete, what would you say to those fans who are just like, no, Jeannie Buss should fight. Forget these new owners. Let her be the one that's in control. She's actually won a championship with her leading the way as the Lakers. She understands what it means from the history of her family owning this team. She's the last vestige of this. What do you say as a counter to those people? Because I think that's a, if not valid and like, yeah, sure, I'm all for that perspective, there's a logic and a reasoning to that. I certainly understand where it's coming from.
I certainly do as well. What I'd say is that you can't lead effectively if nobody else is on your side amongst the important people involved. And she's on an island on this. Neither the new owners, who are going to have a controlling interest in this, Mark Walter is not going to have much say at all. He's got his own stuff, of which selling the Lakers is sounds like a necessity, that he needs a level of liquidity just to kind of make things whole with his insurance companies and the loans and all of the mess with that. Same thing with the Chelsea sale. So Mark Walter, I don't think, is going to be much of a help to her. All of her siblings want a different outcome than what she wants, and the new controlling owners don't want that. Furthermore, we need ownership and a leadership group that is not fighting each other. This is just the simplest stuff, that whether I like them or not, I want them to be all rowing in the same direction. And I cannot emphasize enough the degree to which they weren't. And that remarkable letter that her lawyer sent out about, like, yeah, Jesse and Joey have been given Shams information, in quotes, right? Like, that is against the interest of the Lakers for years. And that's been something I've been saying for a long time, that, like, there are no good guys in this situation, and it's time for Lakers to move on. Am I nervous about what they're moving on to? Absolutely, but like the Buss family is not going to save us. And again, I really view the family trust as being sort of a underrated villain in all of this. Like, to make some historical examples, hereditary monarchies never work. So the king will unite a kingdom, and then eventually he passes away, and then he leaves it to his kids. And this is a very common story throughout the history of civilization. In the times where he's left it to his kids, where it's like, all right, I got 5-6 kids, and you're going to rule this province, and you're going to be the governor of this, and you're going to do that. You know what happens every single time? They go to war. It's a bad setup. This whole thing was a bad setup. And frankly, I can't believe they were able to put it together enough for a year to win a championship and kind of get all on the same page. I will always be grateful for that 2020 title. But this is not something that's sustainable, D. There's just too much chaos and too many people working against each other that in a sport, in a league that is hyper-competitive as it is, just everybody sort of operating and rowing in the same direction is just one of the baseline requirements to be successful.
I think that's very well said, Pete. And just to put my little bow on it too, Jeannie traditionally, from my perspective, as a total outsider's perspective, she's put the Lakers first, and she's put the Lakers second, and she's put the Lakers third, and then fourth is sort of like her own loyalties within her own everything in order to ensure that what she thinks is going to go right with the Lakers. And she's prioritized other people over her family within those circles of who she values and trusts most, and maybe that's been her undermining here. But I never once questioned whether or not she wanted the Lakers to succeed. I only questioned whether or not she was doing the right things to actually make it happen and who she put her ultimate trust in order to ensure that that was going to happen. But I never once questioned whether her heart was in the right place for wanting the Lakers to be great. If nothing else, Pete, that's the through line between her and her father. And it's one of the reasons why I believe he put her in charge, is because her allegiances were to the team and to the league. And this is why I go back to that statement I was making earlier, that I do think that in the sort of like whiplash moment of a report that the shares are being sold, that she hunkered down with her lawyers and were just like, how can they do this? They can't put out a statement. We're going to go scorched earth. But I actually wonder, Pete, if appealing to her, like I was talking about earlier, would actually work in the end, because where her biggest loyalties have always lied was with the success of the Lakers. And if she were to truly put herself first within this, to me, that would feel like a first for her, if that makes sense, where like I would ultimately expect her to be like, no one's with me. And why would I do this to the thing that I supposedly love the most? And that's sort of where I am hoping that this lands, because your point about you can't lead with no followers and you can't lead through cunning and sort of deception or anger within the rest of your leadership group, particularly when you're the smallest piece of it all, but maybe have the most power. Talk about the palace coup that's coming for you. That's how it ends for her, if that's the route that she chooses. And so just a very messy thing, Pete, but I'm just hopeful that they do find a resolution soon, because the messiness of this is holding up Jonathan Kuminga, Pete.
Don't you miss Jonathan Kuminga, D?
Yeah.
I miss the days where we could just talk about Jonathan Kuminga for the sixth week in a row. All right, we're going to wrap up here. Let's hope this gets a resolution soon. I don't think this is the last of what we'll be hearing about this too, so we'll update it as news comes out. We'll be back tomorrow with another pod, but until then, you've been listening to the Laker Film Room Podcast. We'll catch you guys next time.
Baines has got it in low to McHale. McHale wants to turn, he's double teamed. This pass out of front, broken up by Worthy. Tip to Magic. Worthy dies on his belly. Magic scores.
And Magic got it. Magic fires. It's good. And the Lakers win the game. The Lakers win the game. 3 seconds left. Van Exel to win it. It's on the way. Good.
Kobe Bryant.
48 points, 16 rebounds.
Shaq with his eighth block shot that ties an NBA Finals record.
A lot of Laker fans sticking around for this.
You're seeing something that's very rare indeed. A Laker to get MVP chance
right, in Boston.
In Boston.
Of all places.
Are you kidding me?
Kobe. Hard to believe.
Are you kidding me?
Unreal.
Are you kidding me?
Lakers looking to push. Bryant spinning in the lane. Back for Gasol. Pretty pass. And it's back to a three-point game.
Kobe Bryant picked up by Bell.
There's the move. Two. One.
Miss it.
Bryant. Unbelievable.
It's over.
Shot clock now to five.
Bryant. Yes. And that was a little tough to Alvin Gentry.
Add insult to injury, Kobe. I mean, what a shot. I mean, you can't defend that. Are you kidding me?
2.1 seconds remaining. Denver a foul to give. Jokic trying to disrupt Rondo. He puts it in. Here's Davis. 4-3 in the win. Oh, it's good. Anthony Davis has won it for the Lakers. James again. Oh, he hits another one. LeBron James putting together a closing quarter against the Nuggets.
This historic 2020 NBA championship belongs to the Los Angeles Lakers. The Lakers conquer the bubble, and banner number 17 will soon hang in the rafters.